There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Toon Jam. I am Matt.
And I'm Jamin.
And you have joined us on another Cartoon Conundrum. Yes, Cartoon Conundrum. What is it this week? Well, I did tell you last week, I believe, but I'll tell you again. It is our question that we're asking this week is animation still utilised to its full potential? So this is sort of regarding the way in which animation was first used. Obviously, when it was new, it was the idea that you could do anything that you know, pen and pencil allowed you to do. Mm-hmm. So physics were just any old how. You've got all your sort of old shows that just really the whole. So you'd have a 10-minute episode where the whole thing was just literally like, look at what's going on with this character.
Yeah.
Nothing you could ever do, especially at the time in film. Obviously special effects, which adds animation, I guess, to live action, has changed things, but that's essentially what we're going off. Like nowadays, does it still utilize that? Does it still match that? And has it, have we kind of rested on our laurels with animation? So let's start, let's go back to those old ones. So obviously we've sort of discussed a lot of old ones, especially over on our Patreon, when we did a sort of through time look, and we kind of went from the, you know, very early, like before Mickey Mouse, so it was like Oswald the Lucky Rabbit onwards, didn't we? And that was something we really noticed then, was just how much everything was a character, you know. A pen was a character, a chair was a character.
Yeah, the whole world was moving, wasn't it?
Everything
was singing and dancing. The whole environment was like, we're animated. Everything's animated.
Yeah, and it really, like, it, especially sort of, you know, I'd say like a decade in, everything started to look really nice as well. Like the backgrounds, the designs of everything. When you got colours, the colours...
Yeah,
even the black and whites look, you know, look good, and there was definitely certain styles emerging, and it was just interesting because it was like you could just watch it, and it, you know, there was very little story. It was just like, oh, you know, Betty Boop's got to look after a baby.
Yeah,
that's the story.
That's it. Yeah, because it was such a visual feat, you didn't really need much else than that. It was just you're just happy to sit and look at it because. It was that sort of impressive, really. And I mean, especially at the time as well.
Yeah. And then it only got more advanced because it's kind of, as it went on, you got sort of the more, you know, wacky cartoons where, you know, like Looney Tunes and stuff, where I guess things like Tom and Jerry introduced kind of hyper cartoon violence.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, obviously someone can get blown up with a crate of TNT and still live.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, obviously not an ability. that we have is, in real life. But yeah, so you've got all this kind of stuff, and it's really like, and when you go back and watch it, it's really impressive because you just, I think you've got into, especially now with things changing and outdating so quickly.
Yeah.
I think particularly when you're younger, you just assume anything older is worse.
Yeah.
You know, we were kind of like, yeah, I remember when Windows 95 was great. And then now you look back and you're like, it's rubbish. So, you know, for a long time, you're just like, yeah, if it's old, it's probably rubbish.
Yeah.
But then going back and watching them, you know, particularly if you'd never seen them much before growing up or whatever, there's plenty to see where you're like, actually, this is really, really good.
Yeah, I know. I was definitely surprised when we went back and watched a few of the older ones, because I was like, oh, black and white, that's too old for me. Like they hadn't figured colour out. Nah, that's just, it's too in the past. But there really was something different about those early ones where it really felt like something different almost, didn't it? Like it wasn't just, you're not just watching a cartoon. It's like, this was like an experience, you know, like everything was really, they'd really created these really vibrant, crazy worlds. And it was the way that everything moved was so different and dynamic. And I mean, you know, you take it for granted now because we're several generations in and cartoons have kind of, you know, they still do that a little bit, but I don't think they really do it as much. Well, would you say that like that whole aspect's been toned down a lot?
I guess because I feel like the more you do something, the more you get used to it, obviously. Mm. And I think there's things that you easily take for granted in your work, and I guess animation's no different. I mean, you look at like, compare Snow White to, I don't know, what's Disney's latest film? Whatever that is.
Let's see. Or something. No, that's serious.
That's Pixar, isn't it? But
let's
just say for it's not, but Frozen, right?
Yeah.
So use Frozen because that's still pretty current. The storyline for Frozen is pretty intense. There's loads going on. You know, you've got character relationships and all this. Go back to Snow White, and you've got the characters. The story you all know. But it's quite thin. When you watch it, it's like you have moments of characters doing things, but then there's just moments where she's like cleaning a house with animals. And that lasts longer than you would imagine. Then there's like one where they're just dancing around a house.
Yeah.
Playing like silly instruments, pulling faces. And I'm not like, it's really entertaining watching it. Like still now, it still has that like magic. But it's definitely, there's definitely something like you that wouldn't be made now.
No.
For better or for worse. So there's definitely a change. And I think it's probably come from the idea that we've got used to that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're not utilizing animation, I suppose. So let's take a look at some newer stuff, moving away from that sort of Disney comparison.
I mean, I think that's probably a good example though anyway, because that was really like all those scenes with the kind of characters and stuff, that was all using like rotoscoping, wasn't it? So it was like it was an attempt to step away from those the crazy, wild, wacky animation and really just make things more realistic.
Which I guess immediately you've got a change, I suppose, haven't you?
Like, yeah.
That's already changing from what it originally was.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the chairs don't dance.
That's true, yeah.
You know, the animals are dancing, but
now floorboards don't wake up and go, hey.
We have inanimate objects now, rather than everything being an animated object.
Mm.
Let's go to the extreme now. We've obviously covered it. We talk about this a lot within episodes, but it always comes up, I think, either when something's really good or when we feel like it's not necessary that it's an animation. And I think that sort of later point usually comes up when we're looking at adult animation.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's take a look at a few. The big one, I guess, is we watched it recently. Is it Fairview?
Fairview, yeah.
Now, it's not a great example because it's been cancelled. It's widely disliked. But it didn't need to be a cartoon at all. It didn't utilize animation. It didn't even utilize art, to be honest. but it's a kind of good example of you know, the way adult animation particularly is viewed now.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't really think of anything better than that as an example of just how essentially it's like someone somewhere has a script of something and they've decided we'll just animate this. Like, it's almost like an easy out instead of having to like, yeah. I guess like make it live action film people get studio. And that is like, we'll just have you guys do voices and then we'll put something over the top. And that really was what they did here. It was like their mouths barely moved, you know, they were really rigid objects, no limbs and stuff. They barely, it was almost like a motion comic a lot of the time, in the fact that like there was so little like actually moving. And so it just became like, well, why do this? Like, why, you know, it could have been a radio play or something, you know, it could have been a podcast. Yeah. Like there's so many other options. Like, was it necessary to make it?
Well, what's interesting is, I mean, it was bad anyway, but if they couldn't have done this live action, because it would have looked like, you know, everyone shouting all the time.
Yeah.
It was so ludicrous that you couldn't, you know, accept it. I guess it's a way of loosening that. This is the only reason I can think that they did it as an animation, is that it loosens your perceptions. So you're kind of a bit more accepting of the most ridiculous thing possible.
I mean, that's got to be sort of like what they decided to to go for, because they weren't using the medium like to its you know, its potential at all.
It was
really sloppy as far as kind of animation stuff goes, but there are other shows out there that do that kind of thing where it's very much like almost flash animation, you know, like it's not nice to look at. But sometimes even a bad looking show can kind of use animation in a way that's like, well, that, you know, that was a ridiculous scenario, so we couldn't have live action that. Or maybe it's just like certain characters are, you know, they have certain aspects and stuff that it's like, it's a cartoon, so we have to do that.
And I guess a lot of the adult stuff is kind of, in a way, it's so high concept that, and well, this is not all the time, actually, to be fair, but sometimes things are so high concept or just unbackable.
Yeah.
That the only way you could do it is as an animation. Because it would either be too expensive to do live action or you just can't get the backing. So take something like King of the Hill.
Yeah.
There's no real reason that needs to be animated.
No, that's true. Yeah. Because I almost think of those people as real people in my brain.
Yeah.
Because they're so normalized, aren't they? Like, they're everything.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing then, over the top about them at all, really.
At the time, I can't imagine Mike Judge getting given the platform for a live action show.
Yeah.
Because they'd be like, no, well, you're an animator.
Yeah, yeah, he's a cartoon guy.
So there's that, I suppose, as well. But then if you take something like Futurama, imagine how much that would cost to create on a live-action scale.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So this is utilising it in a different way, because the entire setting, the characters, everything about it is, you could only really do that in animation. And it doesn't necessarily have cartoon physics.
No.
But it would be very difficult to make a live action version of this.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean the first, I mean every episode of Futurama, they literally fly to a different planet pretty much. It's like you couldn't consistently keep doing that on a live action budget. It just wouldn't work. Netflix lost millions of dollars over Sense8, which was just shipping people from one country to the next. Imagine trying to simulate worlds.
Well, that's it. And then when you think about it, like, as well, it's not only is it so high concept, but it's also a comedy. And how many high concept comedies do you see in live action?
Yeah, it's very rare. It's very rare. I think it's only you only really see that kind of stuff in sketches, don't you, really?
Yeah, like, yeah. And even sketch shows now, like, they're rare because they're too expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
To produce because of things like that, I guess. You have to make sets and all sorts of nonsense.
Mm.
I mean, the only shows kind of on that scale would be something like, you know, Star Trek or The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And they're massive blockbuster shows, aren't they, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, huge.
They're interesting ones. So Star Trek and Star Wars both have sort of animated shows.
Yeah.
That I guess there's nothing in them that you couldn't do in the live action.
Yeah. Like is there stuff in Star Wars, like the series, that you wouldn't see in live action? Like,
so there's like Clone Wars, there's Rebels, there's Bad Batch, all of which, and I guess there's others as well, but there's, you know, all of them. I mean, Mandalorian is essentially a live action version of one of the animated series.
Yeah.
It's even got Dave Filoni on it.
Mm.
So and they're bringing a lot of the characters to the screen. It means that I guess they can use more alien characters and make their mouths move, which is obviously, you know, you can take a weird character from a bar that's just basically a big piece of plastic.
Yeah.
And then make him talk.
Mm.
But, you know, there's that much CGI now. You know, and then bringing those characters to the screen anyway.
Yeah. So do you think that if some studios had the same means as, you know, Star Trek, Star Wars or whatever, do you think they'd skip over there? Do you think there would be loads of these shows wouldn't even be animated?
Because when you think these are still doing animated shows.
Mm.
So I just wonder if it's a way of like adding more at a cheaper cost when it comes to that. Because, you know, I've watched them all and I've enjoyed them. They're good quality. And they still kind of capture imagination and they're Star Wars. But at the same time, like, there's no reason they need to be animated.
Yeah.
They add more things, like, I guess you can have, you know, droids flying about and more jetpack stuff, and it's easier to do stuff, I imagine. But I don't think it's impossible.
Well, it seems that way now that CG is kind of taken over.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And I mean, I think, I guess CG is also part of the equation here as well, isn't it? Because we went from hand-drawn stuff, so everything was, you know, just a person drawing those frames frame by frame. Whereas now, computers can do a lot of that, fill in a lot of gaps. It's a lot quicker of a process if you use CG to do it. And we've seen some stuff that, you know, it really uses CG to its best. Like there's lots of good shows out there that are very obviously computer generated, but they look really good. Like they're really nice to look at. Like Arcane, for example. It's got such a notable kind of look to it. There was definitely a time when, as CG was coming in, that we had some really horrible looking shows. You know, some really dodgy looking stuff, kind of on Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon, where it was like, I'm not really sure.
I mean, you go back to Johnny Quest.
Yeah.
I loved it at the time, but when we watched it, it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is harrowing.
Yeah, really was.
spooky stuff.
Oh, the faces were distorted and there's just really uncanny valley stuff there that was just terrifying. But now we're, you know, a couple decades in and we get shows like Maya and the Three, where it's all that, you know, very obvious looking CG stuff, but it looks fantastic. Like it's really, really good show to watch.
That's an interesting one because they have utilized the animation and the way you look at it in a different way as well. So, you know, things popping out of the screen almost and using letterboxes and tying it all in. And it might not be the same as like going back to when everything was animated, cartoon physics and all that. But I would say that's the modern equivalent.
It's a really kind of pushing CG to its limits, really, in a way, especially in an animated series.
And that's something, I guess, you know, the CG side of it is probably where, you know, that's changed a lot as well, because the early CG stuff wasn't, you know, it was more like, look at this, you know, it's CG.
It was like, a feature, wasn't it? That it had it. Whereas now it feels like we're almost kind of going backwards, where a lot of shows seem to just be using it just because it makes it even easier and even cheaper to make that show.
We've had people mention it before, you know, like in the Twitter quotes and things like that, you know, things look too smooth and too real or something. And then there's shows now that are going backwards and playing with the art style and things like that, like actually utilize. I mean, look at like Spider-Man what was it, Big Nate we watched recently? Just really nice art styles and choices made, and you know, janky animation, and just you can tell, you know, to utilize it is to think about it, isn't it, really, like to think about what you're showing and then choose to do it in a way that looks nice or is new.
It's interesting. I mean, you've got shows like, I think a benchmark is like The Amazing World of Gumball, which has so many sort of different animation styles all on the screen at once. It's very much like a visual treat, you know. It kind of is that new level of, like, you could just sit and watch what's going on. You know, you've got like hand-drawn looking stuff on top of what looks like puppets, on top of like somebody's chin that they've slapped in, and it's a real mix of everything. And I think that kind of amalgamation of stuff, I think, always makes for a show that feels like it's, you know, it's sort of justifying being animated in a way.
And I think that goes back to things like SpongeBob as well, where it's not necessarily on the same level, but every now and again you'll get a, you know, a real setting. And then you'll get some sort of daft photos. They do it in Teen Titans Go as well. And you can tell that, like, every gag, every moment is thought about and utilized in that sense. And I mean, like, there's a new CG SpongeBob show now, isn't there? As well. So that's an interesting thing, that they've kind of changed the animation while SpongeBob is still going as well.
Yeah. And I mean, I suppose with SpongeBob, the premise itself is kind of ridiculous enough that you're like, well, this a live action one would be strange.
Yeah.
Like, he was first introduced to the world as, like, there was a guy in a sponge suit. It's been a bit, I don't know if we'd be here right now. You know?
Yeah, but that's it's definitely a show that you could only do animated.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess that's the things like Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon, they need that. That's what they need to be doing that. Like, if they're not doing that, they're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about the sort of, you know, that live action animation crossover, not live action necessarily, but different animation styles crossed over, that goes back to, like, you know, the Fleischer stuff, the early, I mean, you look at, like, old Popeye cartoons.
Yeah.
And if he'll be walking through a room and the room is, like, you know, stop motion animation, but he's still 2D animation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, that's like early utilizing of new animations within a cartoon, and that's carrying on now. So it's obviously, you know, that in a way that is using stuff in the same way that they did.
Yeah. It's still kind of progressing, isn't it?
Yeah.
In that fashion. So I guess a lot of it comes down to, I suppose, is the, it does seem to be kind of the intention of whoever's making the cartoon, like, yeah, the, or the animation. It's there's got to be some sort of vision there, hasn't there, of, like, what and why are we using, like, you know, animation wise? Because some of these, it's clearly just an extra arm for them to tell the stories that they want to tell.
Yeah,
you know, it's like they've got, you've got those big franchises like Star Wars and stuff where they've got endless different stories and they want to be able to show you a version of it. So we'll have this one animated, or we'll do this one live action maybe, or whatever. They don't need it, but it's just one way to do it. Whereas other shows are kind of, or you'll get some, I guess, some films and stuff where the animation is kind of the core of what it is, and the story's kind of on top of that. And those are the ones that feel kind of like they're pushing it a bit more, you know?
Like, yeah, and I guess, you know, there's something to be said as well with, like, it doesn't just come down to the movement and literal animation side of it. There's things like, so using it again, Star Wars as an example, it might play out like a normal, you know, it's got to fit in with the Star Wars world.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they've picked specific art styles that are different and interesting.
Yeah.
So they're kind of utilizing it in a different way. So it's like, you know, this doesn't need to be animated necessarily. It gives you more content, but at the same time, you know, it's got an interesting look, which makes you, I mean, you might not like the look of it, but then if you do, it's like art, isn't it? You know, you look into it and you're like, actually, I really like that. I can just watch this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think is good. And I think that's kind of where the line is, where we get annoyed with adult animation, because that's when it can become sloppy. If you're just like, yeah, I just want to do something, I want to make something and I can't afford to do it normally.
Yeah.
And then it looks just cheap. And there's a certain level of cheap that can be funny. But when it just looks generic.
Yeah.
I mean, take, so let's look, I mean, the big taboo one, Family Guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've never done it. We don't like it, really. But there's plenty of people out there that do. Fair enough. But then they did, you know, American Dad. And then they did The Cleveland Show. And all of them just, you know, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
The same look. And then everything. And then it's even worse. Like, at least they're done by the same people.
Yeah.
And you've got these other ones that are just clearly jumping onto that style. And then it happened with Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rick and Morty becomes really popular and it's interesting. And then there's loads of other things that just look similar.
Yeah.
And that's where you're kind of like, ugh, you know, you're not even thinking about what you're doing. You're just jumping on a trend.
Yeah. Like the animation stuff was clearly an afterthought there. It's like, this is just what's trending, so let's do this. Whereas, you know, stuff like Rick and Morty, it's, I mean, like, whether do you like the show or not, sort of thing. Like, it obviously, you know, it did start something there with the way that it was. Like the animation sort of, essentially its origins being kind of a gross, over-the-top Back to the Future, which, yeah, probably wouldn't have worked live action.
Yeah.
But then because, again, it's high concept, so, you know, trying to film this, like, live every week, you know, the amount of CG they need to put in, it'd probably be, like, just as costly as, you know, anything else. It'd be up there with the top shows that they can't afford to keep making.
So, well, that's it. I mean, you would never expect them, unless it was like a massive budget movie, to do a live action version of it. Like, it makes sense that this is animated, and they you know, they go to a different planet every episode. It's worth it. So sort of.
Yeah, but then also I think thematically as well, like you say, with animation, you could sort of give it allowances and stuff. So the kind of the adult content in Rick and Morty, where it's like, you know, characters are killed like over and over again. There's like really dark subject matter in there. You've got like lots of over the top violence and stuff. If that was done in, you know, if that was a real person you were seeing like getting cut up to smithereens by some alien hardware and stuff, it'd be a completely different effect, wouldn't it? Like, because sometimes you can laugh at it if it's an animated show, but if you're watching it and you're seeing the gore, you know, it lands differently. It lands a lot differently.
Yeah, and I think a really good example of that is Star Trek Lower Decks. Because there you've got something that it takes place in a world where they've never done comedy. You know, it's always been straight Star Trek. And then they decide to do a comedy. There's no way you could do it as anything other than an animation.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd be like, I cannot accept this as a fan. Exactly. Like, you'd be like, fair enough if you're just doing a comedy version. There's been a couple, but an actual Star Trek comedy, it just doesn't make sense why everyone's silly here, whereas they're not in the main episodes.
Yeah.
So that's where it kind of works as well. Okay, well, let's give our conclusion then. So when it comes down to it, the answer is, I guess, yes, it is still utilised.
Yeah.
Just in a different way. And it constantly is changing. I mean, you can look at it from then and now and compare the two, but then you can pluck out bits in between where there's things that have changed kind of that. And that's how you have to look at it. It's an evolution, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when you look at things like compare the first Mickey Mouse cartoon to Snow White, and it is quite different. Like, there's obviously closer similarities to, say, you know, Mickey Mouse nowadays, but it's still very different in its own way. And now it tends to be, you know, the best way to utilize it is to utilize every part of it, you know, the art style, the movement, the frame rate, you know, even the technology we use.
Yeah.
And things like that, which I guess is not, you know, that's always been changing, the technology we use. But they're still doing it, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. There are those little pockets on there where people are really, they are pushing the boundaries. I think there's that kind of sort of trap that a lot of people fall into where they sort of see animation as a genre instead of a medium. It's like, we'll just animate it. But that can mean so many different things. And
I think that's that, you know, to go smaller even, adult animation can be a trap.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it just all comes under the same comedy bracket. Well, it doesn't matter that it's comedy, but it'd still be a different genre.
Yeah.
Even if it's a comedy, it doesn't have to look the same.
No, which a lot of it does, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think going forward, I guess I'd like to see more studios, more companies kind of pushing that animation forward a little bit more than just kind of the headliners doing it and then everyone kind of, you know, just imitating that. it'd be really good to see more kind of maybe smaller titles and stuff doing something really different animation wise.
Hopefully
that's where we end up.
So yeah, basically when it comes down to it, more Maya and the Three,
mm-hmm.
less Fairview.
Yes. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. But the answer we would say is, yeah, I think they are still utilising it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, another good chat. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. As always, please feel free to rate and review us if you enjoyed it. And also just share it with a friend. Share it with someone. That helps us out massively. It's a nice, easy way to support us. But you can also support us by going to our Patreon. If you want some bonus episodes, you can go over to our merchandise store, which is bit.ly/ToonJam Shop. And otherwise, if you want to get in touch with us, recommend anything or just say hi, you can do so on the three fair views of the internet, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at ToonJamPod. Otherwise, all that's left to say is thank you for listening. And until next time, you stay jammy.
Hey everyone, thank you for listening. If you want to help the show keep going, you can be extra jammy by heading over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/ToonJamPod. Here you can get a shout out on the show or unlock bonus episodes. Ratings and reviews anywhere you listen to the podcast also really help us out. So thank you and stay jammy.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.